With that school bell, we know it's time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. I hope you'll go get your Bible at this time. And we're going to use that for our school book. Turn to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to begin in reading in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Because after the people asked Peter, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said unto them, "Repent." We're going to start talking about repentance. Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We were studying repentance in our last class, and we're going to continue with that study in just a moment as this class continues. Before we get there, I'll remind you that what we're doing to guide us through this study is looking at an old Sunday school book that was written for the Sunday schools of 1923. It was written by an old preacher that was well known in these parts at that time by the name of E. A. Elam. This little Sunday school book is called Elam's Notes. And these are the Sunday school lessons for the Sundays of December the 2nd, 1923. I'll remind you before we get into this study that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And if you are listening, then you, today, are a student in that school. A quick review. We've been looking at Bible readings on repentance. We read about incentives and inducements to repentance, about how godless sorrow precedes and works repentance, and how repentance is turning away from all sin with a changed purpose and with the determination to serve God. And now I want to read from Psalm 34 and verse 18 that shows us that a penitent person has a humble and contrite heart. We read in Psalm 34:18, "Jehovah is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that are of a contrite heart." God is ready to receive us, but we must be ready to confess our sins. In Mark chapter 1 in verse 5, we read about John the Baptist, that there went out unto him all the country of Judea, and all they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And in Luke chapter 15 and verse 21, verses 18 through 21, we read about the young man who had run from his father and was finally decided after he came to himself that he would return, and said, "I'll arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet afar off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to his father, "I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son." That is the kind of humble and contrite heart that belongs to the man that is ready to repent. He feels and acknowledges his unworthiness. And so we see that he desires to right all wrongs as far as within his power, and shows by his fruits that he has repented. Consider this. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 8. "But let them be covered with sackcloth, both man and beast, and let them cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in his hands. We read in Ezekiel chapter 33:14-16. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turns from his sins and does that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that which he had taken by robbery, walk in the statutes of life, committing no iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die. None of his sins which he hath committed shall be remembered against him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, and he shall live. In Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, we read, But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said unto them, Now this is John the Baptist, Ye all spring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruit worthy of repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. We read in Acts chapter 26, and in verse 20, that declared unto them of Damascus first, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the country of Judea. Now this is Paul, this is Saul that was persecuting the church, and he declared to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works worthy of repentance. You see, we show by our fruits that we have repented, and God commands all men to repent. In Acts chapter 17, 30 and 31, Paul preached that the times of this ignorance therefore God overlooked, but now he commandeth men that they should all everywhere repent, inasmuch as he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. And so when they asked Peter on the day of Pentecost, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter told them to repent. But that is not all, he said. He told them to be baptized. Repent, and be baptized every one of you. That is, all who believed and repented. Those who had not believed and repented would not and could not be baptized in obedience to God. Let's talk about baptism. To be baptized means to be dipped, to be buried, to be immersed, to be overwhelmed. All the Greek English lexicons so define it. There is no word in the Bible so well defined, and whose meaning has been so sought as this one. All religious people agree that one who has been immersed in faith and penitence and obedience to God has been baptized. The facts and circumstances connected with obedience to this command in the Bible shows that it means immersion. For example, much water is needed in order to baptize. We read in John chapter 3 and verse 23 that John was baptizing in Anon near Salim because there was much water there, and they came to be baptized. Those who were baptized went out and came to the water. The water wasn't brought to them. And Matthew 3, verses 5 and 6, they went out unto him in baptism and all Judea. They went out unto him, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan. And they were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. John didn't bring the river Jordan to them, neither did he bring water from the Jordan to them, but they went to the river. We read in John chapter 3 and verse 23 that John was baptizing because there was much water there, and John was not yet cast in prison. He wasn't bringing the water to them. They were coming to him. They went down into the water. when they were baptized in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 38, we read that the chariot was commanded to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So they went to the water, and going into it were necessary for baptism, but they were not baptized. Baptism was performed in the water. In Mark chapter 3, and in verse 6, it says, Matthew chapter 3, they were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Listen to this. From Mark chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, there went out unto him all the country of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and they were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair and had a leathern girdle about his loins, and did eat locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there cometh one, he is mightier than I, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop and unloose. I baptize you in water, but he shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then verse 9, it came to pass in those days that Jesus of Nazareth came and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And that word in, if you look at the marginal note in the American Standard Version, he was baptized into the Jordan. We read in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 39, that as they went their way, they came to a certain water. Notice, the water didn't come to them. They came to the water. The eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And he commanded this chariot to stand still. And now note, they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. That's why Saul of Tarsus was told to arise in order to be baptized. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. If they were merely going to sprinkle water on Saul or pour water on him, he wouldn't have to stand up. But he had to stand up and go to the water in order to be baptized, in order to be immersed. The jailer and his household left the house to be baptized. And after they had been baptized, they went back up into the house. Acts chapter 16, verses 33 and 34. And he took him the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes. And he was baptized, he and all his immediately. And he brought them up into his house, and set food before them, and rejoiced greatly with all his house, having believed of God. You see, baptism is an immersion, and baptism is a burial. We know that from Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. We were buried therefore with him through baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. And in Colossians 2 and verse 12 we read, having been buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. In the New Testament, baptism was a burial. They brought the person to the water, where there was much water, and they were baptized in the water. They went down into the water. They were baptized into the water. They came up out of the water. That's not the way you describe sprinkling someone. That's not the way you describe pouring water on someone. That's the way you describe immersing people. And so the people were baptized in the river Jordan. And when they were baptized in the river Jordan, they were buried. Thus John buried Jesus, and Philip buried the eunuch. We need to make sure when we're baptized that we're baptized after the New Testament fashion.